Wish that I could express how great He is, you know, in your life, because you know He's so great. It's kind of like in the earthly. If you know somebody and you want to tell somebody about them, you want to present it in a way that's so good that they can really taste how good this person is. And that's really the way the Lord is. You know, I want it to be to where when I explain to Him, I'm not talking about just behind the pulpit, I'm talking about in your daily life. You know, where someone can see and say, "Boy, I sure want what you got." You say, "Amen." We want to go into the Word this morning. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we want to speak you on a little thought, building it the right way. Building it the right way.
Amen.
Habakkuk 2, 1, it says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch it to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." And let's go to one more scripture, St. John chapter 15, and just one scripture, verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I thank you for your presence here, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord, and I thank you for giving us an ear to hear, Lord, giving us eyes that we can see. Lord God, I ask you that you would help me get myself out of the way, Lord. And Lord, would you help me to be able to present you in the absolute best manner that I can, Lord, because you are so great, Lord. You're so wonderful, Lord. And I just want them to be able to see, Lord, how great you are, Lord, and do my portion of helping with that, Lord. I ask you, Father, that every person here would be able to testify that they were it was good to walk with the Lord this morning. Lord, that every person can testify and say, I have gotten closer to the Lord during this service, Lord. Help us to approach it in the right attitude, Lord. And Lord, recognizing that, Lord, you're the one that does it. You're the one that changes lives, Lord. You're the one that saves souls. You're the one that heals bodies, Lord. You're the one, Lord, because without you, Lord, we're just a lodge. Lord, we're just an old empty house. Lord, I ask you that you'd come in the house this morning. Lord, I ask you to come into each heart, Lord, and manifest yourself in the portion and the way you want to. We love you. We thank you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. To read just one quote, if you don't mind. Now we know that we can only build a church upon the material that God gave us to build it with. That's all we have. And I think before, I know this is strong and it's on tape. Hundreds of people around the world will hear it. But before we can ever have a building, a church of God, we will have to restore back those things that the insects have eaten out of it. We'll have to go back and find out what the insects eat. And before this vine of the Lord, the great vine, he's the vine, we're the branches. And before we can ever find out where the church can stand in its formal and original power, we'll have to go back and find out what the insects ate. And the church will have to be restored back to that, or it will never stand in the power and glory of its first standing. If the bark's tore off of a tree, we got to get the bark back on it again. Grow the bark first. You can't have apples until you grow the bark. First, the bark is The bark is the sapline. The sapline is the lifeline. And the scriptures, God's holy Bible, is the lifeline to any church. How could we ever bring a grape sap through a sycamore bark? It just won't work. We've got to have grape bark. We've got to have the original bark. There's only one way that that bark can ever come back into the vine, and that's when God grows it himself. We can't make some put on. It won't work. No man-made schemes will work. It takes God's way or it'll never live. Man-made schemes will not work. You might wrap a rag around a tree and say, let it grow. A rag isn't God's program. It's got to be the bark, the lifeline. When it comes from the roots, it'll produce the same thing that the tree had before the insects eat it. We got to be restored. No. Scripture talks about how the cankerworm ate, the locust eat, and they'll eat of that vine. They'll try to eat of the tree of Jesus Christ down the ages, and every time it eats a little bit off of that tree gets a little weaker each time. And I was talking to somebody the other day and at work, and he said, Daniel, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk with you. He's one of my managers, and we took a ride around the golf cart, and he said, Daniel, he said, I don't claim to be a Catholic. He said, but maybe I do. He said, I go to a Catholic church. He said, but you know what? He said, I want life. He said, I want to know, I want truth. And I said, you really want to know truth? He said, well, I want life. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if you get life, the only way you have life is truth. And, you know, and I said, you know, you got to have an absolute. And he said, well, and I said, the absolute is the Bible. You've got to have something that you can tie down to. And he said, yeah, but men have down the ages have wrote this Bible. They've handed it down, handed it down, handed it down. And just like stories, they change. I said, friend, and I showed him the scripture. It says, if you add one word to this book, I'll add the plagues of the book to you. If you take one word out of it, I'll take your name out of the book of life.
That's right.
And like a fear come across his face, I said, the word of God is the only thing we have. And friends, I tell you, I don't go to baseball games very much, and I've been to a couple of them. And in that baseball game, one thing I do know, you got a lot of opinions. They'll throw that ball. Somebody will say that's a strike. Somebody will say that's a foul. They'll say it's this. They'll say it that. Everyone's got an opinion on it. But there's one guy on that field, and he's the one that's got the absolute say on the matter, and that's
right.
The umpire.
That's right.
And if that umpire says that's a strike, we can have all our opinions we want to. But at the end of the day, it's a strike.
That's right.
And you know, God's going to judge this world one day, and he's going to judge it by the word of God. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's not going to judge it by a church.
Right.
He's not going to judge it by your feelings. He's going to judge it by the word.
Right.
And you know what? I feel in this life, you know, I don't know how a person can go day by day without seeking God. I don't understand it. Because, you know, I find myself throughout each day where I'm having to, I feel like I got to repent more than anybody. I feel like when I'm going through this, I'm like, Lord, how can I walk this mountain? Because you are so great. He is so awesome. But what's happened is down the ages, people have come numb to sin. They've come numb to unbelief. You know, Brother Brenham said there's actually one sin. He said it's not the drinking. It's not the smoking. It's not the adultery. It's unbelief. It's attributes of unbelief. The reason you do those things is because you don't believe. Because I'm here to tell you, when you truly believe,
right,
you can't do those things anymore.
Right. No, that's the wonderful thing about this message is it shows you, Brother Brown, don't bring it back and say, you have to follow this church, you have to follow this. He'll point you always right back to the Word of God. Amen. Because he'll say, that is your absolute. This is your absolute. And down the ages, that they would eat at the church. One of the first things they began to eat out of the church was faith. They began to take faith out of the church. Now, how did they do that? By taking from the Word of God. God had original plan with the way God would meet His people, and God don't change His pattern. That's the thing about God, is He don't change His pattern. So you know, if Brother Tim, if I was going to follow Brother Tim somewhere, and let's say Brother Tim stops at this certain gas station every single day at 9 o'clock because he's going to get a package of peanuts. I know he's going to be there at 9 o'clock every day. I can have faith in that after a while because you know what? Every single day at 9 o'clock, he's at the same place. He does the exact same thing every time. I can have faith in that because he doesn't change his ways. When this world, Brother Tim, provides changes, mind that he gets tired of peanuts. You know, he may go somewhere else. But God don't change His ways.
Right.
God will do the exact same thing every time. And if God changes any way, He's not God. Because He has to be infinite. That's all knowing. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And if God made a decision in the first time, He has to follow that decision all the way to the end. Right. If he changes His pattern, if He changes His way in any way, He's not God.
Right.
But that's the wonderful thing about man and God. Because a man changes as time goes on. Man gets a better idea. You start out with the horse and we say, you know what? This beats walking. We've got it. We'll never do this again. But later on, they come up with a car. Eventually, you say, boy, this is it. We've got it now. And next thing you know, they've got a rocket. This is great. Man, and now we've got it on and on and on. What I'm saying is, man adapts. Man learns. Man changes his mind. But God don't change his mind. God's pattern don't change. And that's why we can have faith in God. You know, in the beginning, God had a provided way, the way He would talk to His people. And God had a prophet.
That's right.
And when God would speak to this prophet, He was speaking, starting with Adam. When He used Adam, God gave Adam the message. God would come down and speak to Adam. And everybody that was under Adam, if they heard His message and they followed His message, they were in communion with God. And that's what God wants today. He wants us to be in communion with Him. That means you've got to be built the right way. And down to the ages, when you see this, God was going to speak to the children of Israel through the prophet. God would give the prophet to the people, and they'd say, and God would speak to the prophet, and he'd say, and he would tell the people, you go take this land. I'm giving you this land. You go take this land. And as long as they did that, they were victorious. Because God had a program. God had a provided way. He would speak to the prophet, and they would go do what God told them to do. Is that right? If you look through scriptures, you'll see what I'm telling you. It's right. God had a provided way. And whenever Noah, there was going to be a flood, a judgment on the earth, God had a provided way. God was going to bring judgment on the earth. I wish I could shake this thing to make it a reality that there was going to be a judgment. And God had a provided way to help His people get out of that judgment. The provided way is God sent a prophet with a message. This message, he went out there and it was a crazy thing. He said, there's going to be water come from the sky. Sounds crazy. He had never done that before. But he's telling you, there's going to be water come from the sky. There's going to be water come down and it's going to flood the earth. It sounded ridiculous. It had never done that before. But God sent a message through a prophet. He said, I don't care how ridiculous it looks, I'm here to tell you there's judgment coming. There's going to be water come from the sky. And if you don't get in this ark that I'm telling him to build, you're going to die. You're going to perish. He spoke it for 120 years, a ridiculous-looking message, a ridiculous-looking guy. Everybody looks at, that's a crazy guy. But his message was directly from God. And it said, there's going to be water come from the sky, and anybody that does not get in this ark is going to die. And he's telling him, I'm going to bring, the animals are going to come inside this ark. You watch and see, and people laugh and say, ha ha, you crazy old guy. Look at him out there building an ark. He had never rained before. And here Noah was every day, day by day, working, laboring, looking ridiculous. I'm going to tell you, believers look ridiculous to this world. Whenever a woman won't cut her hair, she won't paint her face, she won't wear shorts or breeches. Men won't go out wearing shorts. We look ridiculous. You know, women, they get made fun of because they got that long hair and a bun. Women will laugh at them. They make fun of them. It's a ridiculous looking thing. But I'm here to tell you, I'd rather be ridiculous and be in the will of God than to look like everybody else and blend in and find out that I'm going to miss the rapture one day. I'm going to tell you, it was a ridiculous message. He said, water's going to come from the sky. It may look ridiculous, but judgment is coming. And he did it for 120 years. People seen that. They said, some will look at him and say, Daddy, was he preaching that message whenever you were a kid? Yes, he was, son. He was preaching that same old message that the rapture's going to take place. He was preaching that same old message that water's come from the sky. Daddy, have you ever seen water come from the sky? No, son.
Yeah.
Never.
Right.
I've never seen water come from the sky. He said that man's been preaching that same old thing, saying that coming, the judgment's coming, the judgment's coming, the judgment's coming. Been saying it for 100 years. 100 years now, son. It's never happened. And then at one point, God shut the door. Not Noah. God.
Amen.
And when they got inside that, 8 souls were saved. They got inside the ark. There wasn't nobody. Noah didn't have the authority to close that door. Only God did. God gave them a message, and he preached, get in the ark, get in the ark, get in the ark, get in the ark. I'm even doing all the work. All you got to do is get in the ark.
Right.
Noah was building it. All you got to do is get in. He preached it over and over, and finally God shut the door. Not Noah, God. And when he shut that door, they sat inside that ark for 7 days. 7 days. Imagine the people seeing this crazy old guy that's preached 120 years and now he's in an ark with that door shut. He's been in there for 6 days now. How crazy is this guy? He's a lunatic. But I'm here to tell you, on the seventh day, all of a sudden, they saw something they never saw before. They saw a little gray thing in the sky, something they've never seen before. What was it? It was a thundercloud. They were sitting there, maybe it was about the size of a man's hand. They said, Daddy, what's that? I ain't never seen that before. And all of a sudden, they said that, and they started hearing a like thunder coming from the sky. Like, Daddy, what is that? I don't know. I'm going to tell you, there's one day when the door will be shut, and there ain't nobody can get back in. That door was shut. God shut the door. And even though they wanted to get in that ark, they couldn't at that point. They'd hear the thunder, they'd see the clouds, and all of a sudden it wasn't just a little cloud, it was black everywhere. I imagine the skies turned green. They seen water coming down from the sky. Imagine the adrenaline rush of you being here, and all of a sudden, it has never done this before, but all of a sudden it's gray, it's green, it's like a tornado weather, water coming down, and then you remember, I heard that message. I heard that man. What was his name? What was his name? Noah. That was his name. He said, get in the ark. Come on, family, and you get your family, and you go as quick as you can. And you rush as much as you can to the ark because you need safety. You know, I remember this man told me these things. He told me these judgments were coming on the earth. He told me there was going to be a great earthquake. Hello. They heard these things. I remember. Where did I hear it from? Oh, I remember the prophet said these things. He said this was going to happen. Let's go to the ark. And they grab their family and run to the ark as quick as they can. And guess what? The door was shut. And they stood there and they tried to open the door. They said, beat on the door. Noah, Noah, it's me. Open the door. It's me. I've got my family. We're ready to serve God now. We're ready now, Noah. Open the door. And the water was probably at their kneecaps and coming up. And imagine holding those little babies in their arms. And they're saying, Noah, open up. We're going to die, Noah, please. You've preached us 120 years. Please, I'm ready to surrender now. It was too late. God shut the door. You know, I imagine they were holding them babies up out of the water as judgment was coming on. They said, please, God, save my children. If you can't save me, save my children. Only 8 souls were saved.
That's right.
I imagine their fingertips were bloody sore from scratching that ark, trying to pull their babies up on top of that ark. God gave mercy and then judgment.
That's right.
God has a provided way. He will send a prophet before he sends judgment. And that is a message of mercy. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was get in the ark.
I'm going to tell you, there's still a prophet. It's God's way. He don't change his ways. There's only one way of escape, and that's get in the ark. Get in the message of what that prophet said.
Now in the ages, there come a judgment on Egypt. They had God's people in bondage. There was nothing they can do. They were under the pits of the Egyptians, and they cried out to God, God, send me a prophet. God, send me a message. Get me out of this thing. And God sent a prophet. God sent a provided way to get out of that. God has a provided way. I'm here to tell you, if you don't go that provided way, you'll miss it. And I don't want to go through everything because of time, but God would send plague after plague upon Egypt. He'd send fleas. He'd send frogs. He'd send fire from the sky. He'd send all these judgments. Said, and the prophet would go up, Moses would go up to him. He said, let my people go. And they would leave, and God would harden his heart, harden Pharaoh's heart, to not let them go. And there was finally one plague that's going to come on the earth. And it was going to be death of the first child. And this death, this was a message from a prophet that said, this is going to take place. If you don't follow this message, you're going to die. The firstborn is going to die. It's a reality. They're going to die. And you have to do it a certain way. Brother Tony's been preaching this, and brother, I'm not planning on preaching like this, but I'll tell you what. They said judgment was going to come on the earth. There's going to be a time. There's only one way you can escape this judgment, and there's a token. And doing this token, you have to take a lamb without blemish. You take that lamb, and you strike the doorpost on top of that door. And you have to get behind that door. And you have to eat the bitter herbs. You have to have your staff in your hand. You have to have your shoes on your feet. And you have to be watching. You're eating your herbs. You're behind the door. You got your shoes on. You ain't sitting on a recliner with your feet propped up. You are ready. Why are you ready? Because when God says go, you got to be ready to go. They were sitting here eating the bitter herbs. And imagine they began to hear the screams down the street of the firstborns dying. They heard the same message. They heard the same call. But they didn't listen to it. The greatest thing you could ever have is something inside here that hears the word.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing you could ever have. You can have the greatest intellectual mind and come up with the iPhone or Apple and be dead
right.
in your sins.
That's exactly right.
But I'm here to tell you what, when you've got that call on the inside, when you've got the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
That's the very beginning. If you ain't got that, you're dumber than a rock.
That's right.
You know why? Because even the rocks will reach out and praise
That's
him
right.
if we don't praise him. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. I may not have enough money to buy a toothpick, but I'm going to worship God. Say amen.
Amen.
There, God has a provided way. God brought the judgment upon that earth. These people heard the message, but some people heard it and some people didn't. They heard the same message. Spoke the exact same thing. This one heard it, this one didn't. Why? There's something inside here that said, amen. That's truth. There's something inside you. When you have something inside you that says, you know what? I don't understand it, but I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that. That's God. Amen?
Amen?
That's representation. That is suddenly that Jesus said, I had to go to my Father's house to build mansions. He said, there weren't mansions here. I tell you. I'm here to tell you, there's mansions over here. What's he talking about? I got a body over there. Say amen.
Right.
I've got a body over there. This is just my carcass. Anytime you see somebody walk around, you should be walking around like, oh, oh yeah, they're cool stuff.
Yeah.
You see that? All it is used to, it was worth about 16 cents. I don't know what it's worth now. And that's the dirt. That's all your flesh is worth. Probably about 18 cents now. It ain't nothing. Just a piece of dirt. It may be dressed up. It may be clean. It may have some expensive sunglasses on and the dreadlocks, whatever they got in their hair. Oh, man, they're cool stuff. They're just walking around like, oh, yeah, I'm cool. You ain't worth no more than 16 cents in your flesh. But if you've got a soul on the inside of that, that's worth 10 million worlds.
Amen.
Say amen.
That's right. Amen.
When you receive the truth, I don't know what it is with you folks, but whenever I receive a revelation from God, it makes me feel humble. It makes me feel like there ain't nobody I can stick above. Because I know the only reason I am where I am today is by the grace of God. Yeah. And that's it. That's the only way. I'm showing you, God has a provided way. And he's done this down through the ages. I'm showing you, God would send if God had a prophet, God would send a message through that prophet, and that prophet would deliver that for mercy or judgment. The exact same waters that saved Noah judge the world. The exact same message that we hear, we say, that's the truth. Somebody else hears that and says, that's horrible. It condemns me. Somebody heard a message one time. They got a message for Brother Brennan. They recorded the services. And this guy read it. He said, oh, you've got to read this book. This thing is, oh, it's great. You've got to read this book. He gives him the book. Guy comes back the next day. He's mad. He's upset. He said, why do you like that book? He said, I don't like that book one bit. He threw the book at him. He said, why don't you like the book? He said, he called me a buzzard. He said, well, I read the same book. He called me an eagle. Say amen.
That's right.
And the way you hear the message, the way you hear the truth, what's it calling you? If you have something, it's not just, God, I believe that. I don't feel like I'm where I need to be, but I believe that. That's the truth. That's an eagle.
That's right.
That's something on the inside of you that says, I believe that to be the truth. I may not be a little black woman said one time, told Brother Brennan, said, you know what? I may not be what I want to be. I may not be what God wants me to be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be.
That's right.
Say amen. Because it's a progress. We are saved by grace and grace alone.
Amen.
Amen. Not by what I can do, not by what I can muster up, but God's provided way. God had a provided way. In the Old Testament, they'd come once a year, they'd have a lamb that was without blemish. They would take this lamb without blemish, they'd bring it up here to the priest, and the priest would inspect that lamb. He would not even look at the worshiper. Come here, brother. I'm going to call you out of the audience here. Elijah's not here, so you're going to be my, I don't know what you call it. What is it? He's the guy I'm going to use. I'm deaf, I can't see you. This is my worshiper, okay? This is my worshiper, and you don't see it, but he's got blemishes all over him. He's got faults all over him. He's got all these things all over him. He's got blemishes. He's got failures. I'm going to really criticize you, brother. He's got all kinds of bad things. He's got, I mean, horrible, hideous, stinky, terrible. Every vile thing you can possibly imagine, he's got it. You name it, he's got it. And he's going to come up for the worship service. And this brother, if there's anybody that deserves judgment, this guy deserves the judgment because he makes more mistakes than anybody I've ever seen in my entire life. He is. I won't even touch him. He's so bad. He's going to come to the service. But he's got a lamb that's without blemish. He's got a lamb that's a perfect lamb. He's got a lamb that has no fault in it. He's going to walk. Go ahead, brother. You walk your lamb right up to the altar. And I'm not even going to look at him. I'm not even going to smell it. The only thing I'm going to do, I'm going to inspect this lamb. And I'm looking over this lamb. I'm flipping the ear up, flipping the other ear up. I'm looking at his leg. I'm turning the lamb around. I'm inspecting. I'm looking. I'm searching. This lamb is worthy. This lamb is acceptable. This lamb is a perfect sacrifice. I'm going to put this lamb on the altar, and I'm going to put his head back, and I'm going to take a sharp rock, and I'm going to cut this lamb's throat, and the blood begins to come down, and you're going to put your hand on this sacrifice. Put your hand on the sacrifice. I'm putting his lamb on the sacrifice of this lamb, and the blood from this lamb is on my brother now. And now your sins, you still have the same desire for sin, but that sin's atoned for the year. I never even looked at you, never looked at his failures, never looked at his faults. The only thing I looked at was the lamb. I was looking for the blood at that point. At one point I was looking, is it acceptable? Yes. Now the only thing I'm looking for is the blood. And whenever we cut his throat, he put his hands on that, and the blood come upon him, and now he is identified with his sacrifice. Now when you see this brother, you see the blood. Because he has been in the presence of the Lamb. Thank you, brother. This brother has been in the presence of the Lamb. I do not have to, you don't have to ask him, have you been in the presence of the Lamb? You don't have to ask him that. You know why? The blood is there. You can see the blood. You can see the life. The life is in the blood. This man didn't come up here trying to say, I'm saved because I'm not a bad person. I did these things. No, he comes to a man, my confidence is none other than that Lamb and that blood. That is my only thing I've got, is the blood of the Lamb. And whenever he was, I'm telling you, friends, he left with the same desire. Because that blood of the Lamb, of a literal Lamb, could not change his desires. That Lamb would just cover the sin. Is that right? But there come one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ was a man that God in flesh come in. And that was a different kind of blood. That kind of blood can actually change his desires. That kind of blood can actually claim the nature. Because you can take a hog, you can clean him up, you can shave him. I saw one the other day. This hog, one of my managers, his brother has got a hog. He potty trained it, so to speak. Now, I haven't been around that hog long enough to see. I don't trust it. I've seen what they do. I used to have hogs. But this hog would go up there and get a certain cookie, and he would scoot that thing. And this thing would do all kinds of tricks. But I'm here to tell you, that guy can try to train that hog all he wants to. He can clean him. He can shave him. He can put clothes on him. He can do whatever he wants. But you put a mud pin right here, and you put the clean house right here, he'll hit the mud pin every single time. And the reason is?
The nature's a hog.
That's right.
That's exactly right. The nature inside him automatically goes for the things of the world. And that's why we've got to be born again. That's right. We've got to be born again on the inside. No, you can receive Jesus. It's like going out to the chicken coop and you get a jar in the manure. You pick that jar up. Well, how many of you are going to pick that jar up and just put some water in it and take a drink? No. You're going to take that jar and you're bring it inside the house? Justification. You're going to take the soap and the water? You're going to clean that glass out? Sanctification. Then I'm going to take this. Then it's set aside for service. Then you're going to take what it was used for. You're going to take water. And then you're going to drink out of it. Now, every one of us is in some state of that. Some of us may still be in the chicken coop. Some of us may be brought in the house. Some of us may have been cleaning the jar out. And some of us may be set aside for God's service. And some of us may be in use of God. I want to be in use of God. You say amen?
Amen.
I want to be in a position where God is using me. Where God is working in my life. Amen. God has got a provided way of worship. And when you come, God's provided way of worship, I'm telling you, God will meet you. He'll meet you on your level.
Amen.
He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Now, as I say, you won't make mistakes. I make mistakes every day of my life. You say amen.
Amen.
Every day. But the difference is, when you make mistakes after that experience, you won't be able to live like you used to. You can make the mistake. Used to, my brother. I'm still going to use you again, brother. Used to, that brother could go do that. He'd lay it on the altar and he'd leave and he might make that mistake again and say, well, I've got the atonement next year. I'll be all right. When you get the Holy Ghost, brother, you get that inside you, you won't be able to live right. You won't be able to feel right. You feel sick. You feel dirty. Say amen.
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 If we can willfully go out and do the things of the world and not feel condemnation, there's something wrong.
That's right.
If you can go out and do these things and you don't feel conviction, why is it when you go to certain places, you feel so convicted? You feel uncomfortable. You go there and you're like, I can't relax. You got other people that can relax, they're having a good time. But why not you? You feel so out of place. You feel out of, why? Because there's a life inside there that you didn't put there. Say amen. It's God's workmanship. It is God working in your life. It is God doing the calling. It is God doing the pulling. It is God doing these things. Amen. It's a deep call to the deep, as my brother said. Amen. I want to build it the right way. Today, women. You know, how many knows women, a woman tops the church? Today, you go to a woman, and women don't want to have children anymore. We live in an age where women, they say, I am not going to bear a child. I'm not going to. And they'll go as far as even having abortions to keep from having a child. Because they don't want to change their form. They don't want to change their party life. They want their freedom to go out and do whatever they want to do. It's the age of it, and it's a type of the church.
That's right.
A woman with her original, almost, I'm gonna call it job, but it's not really a job, it's a calling. Her calling is to be a wife. And being a wife is where when she receives her husband, she's going to, I'm gonna use my own self, Daniel Black. When I go to choose a wife, I'm looking for somebody that will respect my name. I'm looking for somebody that will honor my name, that will receive my name. And then anytime you see her, you'll see me. So I look over and I look over. I look way up high and I ain't seeing nobody. And I remember I was at back of the rep and I was looking, and I wasn't looking for a wife, but to get the picture across, I looked and way down lower, I saw my wife. I had looked deep and far. I looked out there, and I remember I was at back of the rep, and I wasn't even looking for her at the time, but I was looking up there, and I was singing, "When We All Get to Heaven," and I don't know what it was. I saw her. My eyes saw her, and I knew at that moment, at that time, that was going to be my wife. I don't know how I knew. I knew. She was going to be my wife. She didn't know yet. I hadn't told her yet. Anybody who knows this will know, you'll know the story about that. Whenever I proposed to her, I just said, "We're getting married." She said, "Okay." I regretted that many years because I wanted to be romantic. You know, you see these guys that get it right. They go by the ocean, the waves going through, and, you know, the wonderful thing is say, "Will you marry me?" And every time I do that, she'll turn and look at me. I'm like, "Sorry." But you know what? When a man looks for a wife, he's looking for somebody that will respect his name. He's looking for somebody that will love him. Somebody that won't go out and try to make a name for herself. It's somebody that will respect me. And he wants somebody that will be a mother. Because one of the greatest things a man can ever do is have a wife that will respect him, that will love him, that will receive his headship, and that will bear his children and raise the children the way he wants them raised. So whenever you see it, you'll see the husband, you'll see the wife, you'll see the children, and they all look alike. That's right. Brother Brim said the mother is the backbone of the nation. Why? Because the mother has the little children and she will raise them right. She will raise them to fear the Lord. She will raise them and show them how to be good children. And she'll spank that hind end. Say amen.
Amen.
We need a whole lot more spanking this day. You'll see kids standing in a cart screaming at their mama and their daddy. You're like, "You do that to me one time, we'll go outside and we'll talk about it." I remember one time when I was little, I was in the middle of that woods, and I was screaming, I was playing, we were having a good old time. My mom came to me and she said, "Hey, you want to see something really neat?" I'm like, "Yeah, come on." I'm like, "Okay." She said, "Be real quiet though." I'm like, "Okay." We're going with mom, and we're like, "Wait a minute, we're going towards the front of the store." We keep going, and we're going out of the store. She said, "I already got it, it's in the car." I said, "Oh, all right." We go to the car. Well, it was in the car, all right. She turned around and I saw the meanest thing you ever seen in your life, and that was a mama that was sitting in a snake. Needless to say, I didn't do that no more. I corrected it. And not to say people might make mistakes, but you see what I'm saying. A mother will correct their children. A mother will cause her children to look like the father. And her greatest thing she can ever do is bear his children and have his children look just like him. That's the greatest thing a man can ever have. God is the exact same way. God is looking for a bride. God has got a bride out there, and he's not looking for some kind of sex queen, somebody that looks just great. God is looking for character. God is looking for someone that will be a wife. Amen. God is looking for someone that will bear his children. God is looking for someone, because to bear his children is to receive his seed. You receive his seed, you'll bear his children. Is that right?
Amen.
Because if it's somebody else's seed, it's somebody else's child.
That's right.
God don't, I would be furious. I would be beyond furious. If we were in there and I was so excited, my wife's fixing to bear children, I'm so excited, and it was another man's baby. Imagine how furious I would be.
Yes.
You multiply that times million, times million, times million, times million. How do you think God feels when people are trying to bear children to another doctrine, trying to bear children to another life other than the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
Amen. God was looking for a church that would submit themselves to God. God is looking for someone that will submit to him, and they will bear his name. They will, when they live this life, they will live the life of God. Not because she has to, not because she's afraid he's going to divorce, but because she loves him. When my life lives, when my wife lives her life, she does. She conducts a certain way. She knows that I cannot stand pork roast. I hate it. It's for years she would cook it, and I didn't want to hurt her feelings. When we first married, I said, "Oh, that was good. That was great." And so for years she would cook pork roast because she thought it was my favorite, and I hated it. And for years I would eat that stuff, and I was like, "Oh, that was good." She said, "Did you like it? I cooked your favorite." I said, "It was good." You know, for years this went on. And we actually went to a marriage counseling, not counseling, it was one of those marriage deals you go to. We went with the Lanes, and I think it was in Rudy where we went, and he was talking about different things in ministry, about being honest towards one another. And my wife, on the way back, I felt that thing inside my stomach. I was like, you know what, you hate that stuff, and you've never told her, you've never had the backbone to tell her the truth. And then we're going back there, and I said, "Babe, we need to stop somewhere." So we stopped at this water deal there, and we're walking out here, and I'm thinking, I'm kicking the rocks, I'm thinking, I've got to tell her this. I've got to break her heart. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but the only thing I know to do is just lay it out. And so I talked to her, and I said, "Babe, I got to tell you something. You know that pork roast?" She said, "Yeah, it's your favorite." I said, "Well, I hate this stuff. It's just horrible." And she said, "What? I've been cooking this for years because you said you liked it." I said, "I didn't want to hurt your feelings." And she said, "I don't like it either." So she's been cooking pork roast all this time. I don't like it. She don't like it. We're eating it because she thinks I like it. Honesty sure does help. Needless to say, we ain't had pork roast ever again that I know of. But I say those things. She won't cook those things. You know why? Because she knows I don't like it. I hate it. I hate this stuff. It's nasty. She won't do it. So she's not going to not make it because she thinks I'm going to divorce her. I'm going to do it. No. She loves me, and she wants to make me happy. And she knows that this I do not like. So she's not going to do it. It is a relationship. My wife knows I love eating fried taters. I love it. Brother Tony and I heard a young family one time, they're talking about how hard their life was. And they said, "We're so poor, we're having to eat beans and taters. That's all we got to eat." Brother Tony looked at me and started laughing. I laughed at him. He said, "If they're looking for hardship, they're looking at the wrong way to do it." Because Brother Tony's like me, we like beans and taters. We're like, I'd eat that every day. But my wife knows I love beans and fried taters. I absolutely love them. And she knows I love a big deal of sweet tea. And you know what? She does those things. She'll make beans and fried taters. She'll make sweet tea because she knows I love it. I like it. It means a lot to me. She'll do those things. She don't do it because, "Oh, he's going to beat me if I don't do this. If I don't make beans and fried taters, he's going to beat me. He's going to cast me into hell." That's the kind of relationship the world and the devil tries to make us have with God. Makes us try to paint a picture that as soon as we mess up, God's waiting with a hammer to throw the judgment down on you. No. Could you imagine an American soldier going to battle, and he's fighting, and he gets shot to pieces, and then could you imagine them taking him back and saying, "We're going to throw him in prison because he got shot in the midst of battle." Could you imagine? No way. That's nonsense. When he comes back, he's going to be an American hero. We're going to look at him and say, "Come on, brother, we're going to carry you." I saw the most tremendous story the other day. An American that was in battle and got his legs blown off, and he could never walk again. And one of his comrade brothers knew that this man, on their way to war, he told him, "There's a certain mountain that I want to climb. When I come back, let me go on my tour. Let's go back and let's climb that mountain. Let's do it together. You want to?" He said, "Yes." It's an agreement. They shook hands. They go to battle. He gets his legs blown off. And his dreams of walking up that mountain is over. It'll never happen now because his legs are blown off. But he had a brother in arms that saw him. And he said, "That's my brother. And we made a pact that we're going on top of that mountain. And brother, you may not be able to carry it on your legs, but I've got strong legs." You know what he did? He picked him up and put him on his back. And he hiked that mountain himself with his brother on his back. And they made it on top of that mountain together. I'm here to tell you, you may feel like you're beat down. There ain't no way I can do it. There's a brother in the house that can pick you up and pack you up on this mountain. Amen. You say amen? Amen. We're going to make it on this mountain. If you can't walk, Brother Tony, Brother Tim, Brother Jordan, somebody is going to pick you up. Brother Dylan is going to pick you up. Malachi is going to pick you up. Sister Mary is going to pick you up. Because you ain't getting left behind. We're going on that mountain, and we're all going together. We're going in the rapture. You may as well get ready. You either come the easy way or you come the hard way. But either way, we're going. Say amen. You know what? We're going on top of this mountain. You may feel like, "I can't walk. I can't do this." It don't matter. God said you're going to do it. There was a little black man one time said, "I believe God." He was packing the Bible around. He couldn't read. And somebody said, why you pack that old Bible around? He said, because I believe it to be the truth. That's why. He said, you believe every word? He said, I do. He said, you're going to do everything it says? I will. He said, what if that Bible says you to go jump through that wall over there? He says, Wells, this is what I think. If this Bible says for me to jump through that wall, when I get there, there'll be a hole in there for me to jump through.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen?
That's how big God is. God says you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Amen. All I got to do is listen. I don't even have to build the ark. All I got to do is get in it.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
I don't even have to come up with my own plan and say, God, this is the way you can save me. No, I don't have to do that. God has got the plan. Get behind the token.
Amen.
Get behind the blood. And how do you do it, Brother Daniel? How do you get behind the blood? It's simply saying, God, forgive me. Let me come your way. Let me walk in this life your way, God. I don't want to try to bring my own thing. I don't want to bring what I can do. God, I'm a failure. I'm the worst thing you could ever look at, but I'm not counting on what I can do. I'm counting on the blood. And the blood is worthy because Jesus Christ is worthy. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ worthy?
Yes.
He's worthy.
Yes.
And that means his blood is worthy. So that means all I got to do is say, God, don't even look at me. Look at Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Because what he's accepted, and because he's accepted, I'm accepted.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You can live on the mountaintop today. You can be in the valley today. It don't matter. The blood don't change. Amen. The economy can be booming today. It can fall tomorrow. It don't matter. The bride is counting on one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All you've got to do is simply receive it. When I gave my heart to the Lord, it was at a rock and roll party. It looked like impossible. No way I could give my heart to the Lord. Bodies hit the floor, booming. The walls were shaking. I don't know how to know it, but I don't know how it happened. But I had something inside me said, this ain't nothing but the truth of God. God is real. I knew God was real. I knew he was. You say, amen, God is real.
Amen.
It's a reality. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to do, but I knew this was pulling me. There was something pulling inside me, tugging me, and I told the people in the party, looked at them, I said, you know what, turn the radio off. I said, you know what, we have a king. He come and died for us. I said, I'm sitting here polluting my body. We have a king that died for us. They said, man, what are you talking about? Bodies hit the floor, and all of a sudden, this crazy guy is talking about how that we got a king. I said, I'm serious. We got a king. He come and died for us. I said, man, you're crazy. You need to go lay down. I said, you're right. Turn the radio off. I went to the bedroom. I didn't even know what to do. I'll be honest with you. I did not know what to do. I shut the door behind me. All I knew was I had to get behind the door. That's all I knew.
Amen.
I got behind the door, and I shut the door. I got inside there, and I said, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know if I need to get on my knees. I don't know if I need to stand on the bed. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know. I just got down on my knees. I said, God, and I felt this burning on the inside, this conviction on the inside. I said, God, I know this is real. There ain't nobody can take that away from me. I know this is real. I know you're real. And God, if you will save me, if you'll change me, I'll serve you the best of my ability the rest of my life. Friends, I did not feel fireworks. I didn't feel warm oil. I didn't feel none of that stuff. But I'm here to tell you something changed that day. I went from a boy that was living off alcohol every day, piercings in his ear, wearing baggy jeans, all this nonsense. I went from that guy to where I need a long way to go. I ain't where I want to be, but praise God, I ain't where I used to be.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, all you've got to do is simply say, God, forgive me and help me start serving you.
Amen.
Say amen. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Let's just all stand to our feet. God's got a plan for our life. Say amen. He does. God's got a plan for our life. I'm his workmanship. I am not my own workmanship. I'm only where I'm at today by the grace of God. And God is working on me.
Amen.
Somebody can look at Mary the day after she got pregnant. It's by Jesus, the visitation. The angel comes to her. She said, be it unto me according to thy will. They can look at her the next day and say, there ain't no way she's pregnant. Look at her. She don't even look like she's pregnant. She don't have no life in her at all. I'm here to tell you, in time, she just kept eating. Things started to take place. A woman that's never been pregnant before don't have to figure out how to make the manifestations take place. A woman that's pregnant, she don't have to read a book and say, okay, in order for your belly to start sticking out, so you look pregnant, this is what you need to do. I'll tell you, it's real simple. That bucket of chicken, you just start eating it. That lamb, you just start eating it. All you've got to do is feed. You got to feed that baby. And when you feed that baby, that belly will automatically start showing. all of a sudden you'll start showing signs
of being pregnant.
Everywhere you go, that belly's sticking out. At one time, you can easily squeeze between the refrigerator and the cabinet. Used to, I forgot, we got a pregnant one in here. At one time, they can go through there. And at one time, they could easily squeeze through here, but no longer. You know why? They got life. And this baby can't fit in those tight places anymore. You know why? She's been feeding the baby. That's all you got to do is feed the baby to Jesus Christ. You feed him the word. The more we stay in this word, friends, the more we can do that. The more we can eat this word. You pray, you abide in me, and you let my words abide in you. You're going to bear life. I want to bear it. And this is how we do it. We stay in his presence. Amen. I just want to ask every head to be bowed, if you don't mind, just for a moment. For the Lord. I brought this forth to you as fresh from God as I know how to. Lord, the devil has fought me tooth and nail getting this message together. And I'm going to ask you this morning, nobody looking around, just you and God alone. You know your experience with God. You know where you're at with God. If you say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I haven't received the Lord in my life. I don't know if I have or not. With your head, every head bowed, won't you just lift your hand up and say, I want to receive him right now. God sees your hand. And you do not have to leave with that question in your mind at all. You can receive him right where you are right now. And it's not something great. It's simply you saying, Lord, I want to receive you. And the hands have gone up. We're going to pray right now. And you just ask him, Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you see the hands gone up in this building, Lord. Every head bowed, Lord. We're fervently coming before you, Lord. And saying, I want to see you. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know I have an experience with you, Lord. And you see those hands, Lord. I ask you, go to them right now, Lord. Lord, let them not look for some kind of a feeling or emotion, but simply believing. Saying, I receive the blood. There's nothing in myself that's good. I receive the blood. Lord, I ask you to go to them right now, Father, and drop into their heart, Lord Jesus, and let them experience you. Lord, I want them to taste you. I want them to feel you the way I got to feel you, Lord. Lord God, be real to them. I ask you to open the scriptures up to them, Lord, and give them revelation, Lord. Lord, open the word to them, Father. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, go look. Lord, don't stop with them, Lord. Walk this out, Lord. Lord, knock on every heart right now, Lord. If there's anybody here, may they truly be able to put their stake in the ground this morning and do a personal checkup. Do I truly have an experience with the Lord? Do I truly know who Jesus Christ? Have I truly accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Lord, walk the aisles right now. And knock on their heart, Lord. Give them a fresh opportunity, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord. Let's just worship him this morning.
as I keep saying, if there's anybody that needs prayer this morning, we want to open the altar up for you. We'll be glad to pray with you. I mean, it's an open altar. And let's say you don't have to, but if you need special encouragement or you need to pray through something, we'd be glad to pray with you. I'm going to ask for the Tony prayer. Prepare to come forward.
You heard this morning. You know, we're not a big church, but I believe what we heard here this morning is it's enough to save the whole world, the whole entire universe. You know, the scripture says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Remember, I said that many times, not set you free, because you could be set free out of prison and then go back to prison because you do something wrong. But when he makes you free, where you become free, then nothing will ever bind you. And the only way to get that is to know truth, and to know truth for this hour. What is God doing today? Who is his people for this hour, right? And the only way to know that is for God to vindicate that by the truth that he's given for this hour. And so I believe what we heard here today is just enough to save the whole world if they would just listen to it. And so we're not a big group, but I believe that if you know, we say it this way, if there was one church in Arkansas, in the whole state of Arkansas, that God visited today, it was here. Right? Our God's that big. That he will leave the 99 sheep to go find the one. Right? So this idea about, you know, great programs, no, it's just a heart that is humble before God. It says, God, just like the parable Jesus tells, where the Pharisee is standing there in the temple, and then there's a man, there's a sinner, publican, standing there, and they're both there to pray. And the Pharisees stand there before the presence of the Lord in the temple, and he's like, God, I do all these great things. I tithe and I fast and I do all this stuff. And oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like that sinner over there, that publican. Right? Jesus tells this parable.
Yeah.
But that little sinner standing over there, and he was so convicted of his sin, he wouldn't even look up. He just held his head to the ground and he smote himself on the breast. This is me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that man was the one that went away justified that day.
Right.
It wasn't the great person to think some great something about him, but the one who has a humble heart before God to say, God, I'm in a low estate and I need your blessings to pick me up.
Yes.
And that's what you do. And so God has a provided way for today. You know, and I'll run through the scriptures. I thought I might just have her bring them up, but it'd take a little while, and I don't want to do that. But, you know, God intended it as it unfolded in the scriptures. He was going to speak to people directly. When Moses brought the children of Israel out, and God said, bring them to this mountain, and he brought them to that mountain. When God began to speak, the people were fearful.
That's right.
Now, if you've read your Bible, you know this. They were fearful, and they said, let not God speak, lest we die. That's exactly the fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so God said, okay, I won't speak to them anymore like this, but I will speak to them through a prophet. That's where it started right there. He said, I will do that from this day forward. I will speak to them through a prophet. And so in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets to his prophets. Now you know the Lord's not doing nothing, right? That's not what that's saying. He's saying surely the Lord won't do anything, but first that he reveals it through his prophets, right? That's still Old Testament. So now when we come to the New Testament, here's Jesus, and the scripture said John the Baptist was a prophet, right? Now Jesus, he also came as Son of Man, as a prophet, and he's standing there, and when he's transfigured on Mount Transfiguration, his garment turns white, and there is a Moses and Elijah, both of them prophets, standing there with him, and the apostles see this. Peter, James, and John see it, right? They see that, and they realize what's going on, and when they come down from there, Jesus says, don't tell nobody about what you just seen, right? Just hold it to yourself. But the disciples, because they seen Moses and Elijah, and they knew that the scripture said Elijah would come. So they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, you know, we've just looked at this, and now we realize that what's going on here, but wait a minute, the scripture said Elijah was going to come first. And Jesus said he did. He said he's already come, and you didn't know it. And then the scripture said the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the coming of Elijah that was to come before the coming of the Lord. And here the Lord was, and they realized it was him, and he says, and they asked him, and he said, well, he did come, and you didn't know it. You missed it. You missed my forerunner. Even his elect apostles missed the forerunner. But yet Jesus said, truly Elias shall. That's future. Because there are people who will tell you, oh, God don't send prophets no more. He don't send prophets in the New Testament. That was all done away after John the Baptist. Oh, really? Jesus said, truly, Elias shall come. That's future, right? And he'll restore all things. And so you know there's another coming of a ministry of someone anointed by the Spirit of Elijah. At least one more time, because Jesus said so. And that he would be coming just before the coming of the Lord. So where is he? If everybody in the world, all the Christian people in the world says, oh, the rapture's coming, we're just almost ready, almost there. Oh, really? Well, if you're almost there, then don't we have enough sense to be like the disciples and say, well, if we're almost ready for rapture, where was this Elijah that was to come? Where was this prophet? Jesus said, I'm going to send him, right? And there's other scriptures there, I think, in Luke 11:49, Jesus said, behold, I will send you prophets. And some of them you will crucify or you will persecute and so forth. I will. And so the reason why I'm saying this is because God still has a provided way. He's not going to do anything but what first he reveals it through his prophets.
Right.
Now, the world may not like that, but that's his program. Like Brother Daniel started out, God has a provided way. And so when we find that provided way, it will bring to pass the word that God has said would happen in that day, and it'll be from a ministry that comes at the end, like he said it would be. Prophet. Amen. And we find in the scriptures there were prophets in the early church after Jesus, after John. Agabus was one of them. We'll talk about that. So we thank the Lord because he does have truth in this hour, in this day, and that he has cast out that lifeline, as Brother Daniel mentioned, for us to get a hold of. And all you have to do is just receive that. Just receive that. Don't try to do these things, try to manufacture any of this stuff of righteousness that we know that a good Christian life will produce. Don't try that. Just receive him and let him do it.
Amen.
Right? Let him live that through you. That's all you got to do. Just receive him and let him work through your life.
That's right.
Amen. Come and taste of the Lord and see that he's good. And Brother Daniel's talking about that lamb. He'd lay his hands on that lamb. You know, when he lay his hands on there, and they'd cut that throat, that lamb would start wiggling around. And the man who's guilty of sin, that should have died, he's standing there, and, you know, I've always run through my mind thinking about this. The first time, you know, a young man, he gets of age, and now it's his responsibility to go do and offer this lamb. And he picks one out that's without spot or without blemish, and he comes in there. And how you would undermine your own salvation, your own redemption, or your own covering of your own sins, how you would undermine that if you went out to your flock and you got something that had blemish. I mean, we're talking about your sin. Do you want to offer before God something that's got questions in it?
No.
No, you want to offer something before God that is, thus saith the Lord, and no blemish in it. Something that he has proven to be, and that's what they did with Jesus. They said, we find no fault in it. He was that perfect sacrifice. So you want to grab and bring before God and say, God, I'm a sinner, but here's my sacrifice. Here's what's taking my place, and it's without spot. I find no fault in him. He's perfect. Why is he perfect? Because he's thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
That's why he's perfect. You put him out there, and then you can walk away with confidence. You have no questions that when God looks upon that one, see? And so he put his hands on that lamb and they cut his throat. And that man who was a sinner who should have died and knows it should have been him. He was the one that should be struggling. That lamb was sitting there quivering and the blood flying all over him. And he'd feel that quivering and all of a sudden he'd feel a life go out. And think about it. And no, that was me. It should have been me. He took my place. And I imagine the first time that happened, he went home and he's like, for days, I don't want to wipe this blood off or nothing because he took my place. I want this blood on me.
Yes.
And for days, he's walking home and he's shaking. And his parents see him coming and think, oh, my son, he's worshiping God the right way.
Yes.
See, and he's coming in, you know. But year after year, human nature, you become desensitized.
That's right.
And after a while, that guy, the first time he goes in there and he's quivering, now, you know, 10, 15 years later, he's done this so many times it becomes not as important to him. And then when he gets done, he's like, I'm going to go over here quickly and wash this off because I got some shopping I want to do.
Yeah.
Become nothing to him.
Yeah.
This is what denominations are. God does a great move in Luther's day, in Wesley's day, and it was great in that hour, and then it becomes nothing after a while. God don't want to be that way. I want my wife to love me today just as much as she ever did, or something wrong.
Yes.
And vice versa. God wants us to love him now,
yes,
as fervent as we ever have, or more so now as every day goes on.
Yes.
Right? And the reason why it's like that is because the spirit life that was in that blood of that animal, when they would slay that, though the blood would come up on the person, the life behind that animal could not come into us because it's a different life.
That's right.
It's animal life, not human. But when Jesus Christ walked up Calvary, and we feel the struggling that he went through going up Calvary for us, and that blood not the literal blood because we weren't there, but that life that was in his blood that came out, that spirit, it is the right kind of spirit. It can come into our hearts.
That's right.
And therefore, under the Old Testament, it couldn't take away sin out of our lives. It could only just cover it for a while.
That's right.
But now, when that comes upon us, it changes our heart. It changes us down inside. And when that change happens, you find out you have no more want to of the things of the world. Maybe in your flesh it ceased, but in your heart something's happened. Like Brother Daniel said, I knew something took place. I knew something happened because I'm a different person inside. I don't care how much Satan tricks me and gets me in traps, whatever it is. I know that down inside something happened to me, and I want the things of God now.
Amen.
That's the difference. That's a new birth. And once that's born in there, Satan cannot take that away from you.
Right.
Once something's born in your heart, once it happens, I mean, it's a birth.
That's
and
right.
Nothing can take that away. I know I've been born again inside. Something changed.
Yeah.
And no matter what anybody says, no matter my own failures and mistakes I make, I know down inside there's a life living in me that loves this word and wants the whole world to receive it.
Yes.
I've tasted of the Lord and seen that He's good.
Amen.
Amen. So is Brother Daniel. And that's why we want to stand up here and tell you every service, He's a reality.
Yes.
And He's that something that keeps holding.
Amen.
He's that something that will keep holding you.
Yes.
And all you can do is just throw yourself at His feet. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing this song just for a moment. So let's just worship Him. Do you love Him?
Yeah.
Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him, God, You're real. You make this change, Brother Tony, Brother Daniel.